Our next presenter is Jill Hensley. She currently serves as project manager of the coordinating center within the Fetal Alcohol Spectrum Disorders Center for Excellence, funded by SAMHSA, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. In this role, she oversees 23 subcontracts providing services in a range of settings to either prevent or address fetal alcohol spectrum disorders. In addition, she facilitates learning communities within and across the initiatives to encourage information sharing and peer mentoring to improve implementation and outcomes. Overall, she's provided management and technical expertise on a range of federal government contracts in public health for over 20 years. And today she's going to speak on improving child health outcomes through prevention and intervention among women at risk of alcohol-exposed pregnancies.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I'm just going to start with no personal financial relationship disclosures. And I'm going to talk to you this morning about 15 of those 23 interventions that we manage as part of the FASD Center for Excellence. The 15 that I'm going to talk about this morning are the prevention and intervention programs. I'm going to talk a little bit about Project Choices, which targets women of childbearing age, 18 through 44, who are sexually active and report excessive alcohol consumption defined as either 8 or more drinks per week or 4 or more drinks on one occasion, which puts them at high risk for alcohol use during pregnancy. Also, the other set of interventions I'll talk about are the screening and brief intervention. And these target women who report active drinking or in the past drinking that puts them at high risk. These are women who are currently in women, infants, and children or Healthy Start programs, so they're currently pregnant. And then lastly, I'll talk a little bit about the Parent-Child Assistance Program, or PCAP. And this one targets both pregnant and postpartum, or postpartum women with substance abuse problems. So together, it really represents the full spectrum of prevention with women who are not yet pregnant but high risk, all the way to pregnant or possibly even postpartum now with children. So just a little bit about what the interventions are about, and then I'm going to switch a little bit to more of a quantitative data outcome reporting. Project Choices includes 4 sessions of intervention, and 1 session is a contraception counseling visit. It uses motivational interviewing methods as its primary technique. The screening and brief intervention is a very short 10 to 15 minute intervention at initial intake. And then there's a reassessment and brief interventions as necessary, which basically means if you continue to screen positive that you're continuing to drink, each month that the woman comes into the visit, they will have another intervention, screening and brief intervention. It consists primarily of education and goal setting to help the women achieve or maintain abstinence from alcohol throughout their pregnancy, and it also uses a lot of the motivational interviewing techniques. And then finally, PCAP is our most intensive model, and it includes paraprofessional home visitation, and it goes for 3 years. So that's our very long-term intervention, and it complements the traditional substance abuse treatment with the use of an active case management approach. So what I'm going to do is walk us through the various findings of each of these programs just so you can see where we are. And for the most part, what you're going to see are data that represents 2 years of implementation and data collection from September 2009 through the end of last month, September 30th, 2011. And just a very overview, we have a lot of demographic data, but because of the time, I thought I would just pull out some of the key factors here. Almost half of the women were between 21 and 29 years old, 63% were white, and 33% had a 12th grade education or general GED, and 73% were never married. Here you can see the actual numbers of the intervention in terms of who we had eligible by screening. 1,122. We had 1,009 of those women who agreed to actually participate, and then 457 that completed the program. And with the Choices program, it was primarily either at a community-based setting or residential treatment. And for purposes of this presentation, I'm going to focus only on the community settings. So this gives you a little bit of a picture of how the women looked at enrollment. And you can see that 32% reported alcohol use, and they qualified because of their scores on alcohol use. 66% reported binge alcohol use, and these are not mutually exclusive. And then 23% report no drinking, and the reason that is there is because if you were in an outpatient setting, treatment setting, you automatically qualified for the study, so you might not report active drinking at enrollment. Okay, so then this takes us to the actual end of program for these women, 189 that actually completed the program in the community settings. And you can see that the outcomes were largely very positive. We had 66% of the women who had improved alcohol scores at the end of the program, 57% decreased their binge drinking by the end of the program, and this is the third bar is everybody in the program at the end if they had reported abstinence by the end of the program, and we had 78% reporting abstinence by the end. In terms of the contraception piece, which really is the other key component of the Choices program, we had 70% of the women using effective contraception at the end of the program. So it's really those two key variables that the program Choices is really trying to affect, either the decrease of the risky alcohol drinking or the use of effective contraception. And we also have taken these women to 6 and 12-month follow-ups just to take a look at the ability to sustain some of these outcomes, and they're looking pretty good so far. Now our ends are going to start dropping because as we go out we find less of the women, but nonetheless we had out of 72% reporting on use of alcohol, 74% of those women reported abstinence at end of program, 69% at 6-month follow-up, so not too bad, a little bit of a drop-off. But the contraception was staying very consistent at 80%, so that was a really good finding. And then 12 months, you're going to see this is dropping off a little bit, so 74% at end of program. Now at 12 months, they're reporting 63% abstinence. And a little bit of a drop from that prior 80% down to 64%. So basically the summary for our Choices program is that among the women in the community-based settings at enrollment, 78% of them reported abstinence from alcohol at the end of the program, and similarly 70% reported using effective contraception. Okay, so screening and brief intervention. Again, these are the women who are in either WIC or Healthy Start settings, so they are pregnant. You're going to see a much bigger number screened because they're in these systems, so they do screen quite a bit of women. One of the criteria for these programs funded by SAMHSA was that they integrate them into existing service settings, so they were not to be funded as a standalone program. So you can see 20,000 of the women were screened. We had about 19% of those who were eligible to participate, and about 51% of those actually participated in the initial intervention. The demographics, 57% of the women were between 21 and 29, 64% white, 48%, almost half, with a 12th grade education or GED, 58% never married, and 46% of the women were in their second trimester of pregnancy at screening, just so you can get a sense. And I have some data that looks a little bit of that later as well. This is something that was interesting to us. This takes you, you could qualify for the intervention either, as I said earlier, based on active alcohol use or your risk based on past risky drinking. So the eligibility of our total sample was largely at risk because of past drinking, not current drinking. So 81% of those were in that category, with only 19% reporting alcohol use in the last 30 days. This shows you how they reported at the third trimester follow-up by their eligibility status. So you can see the outcomes were actually very good. So those who were at risk based on past level of alcohol tolerance, at their final, basically, follow-up, 99% were not drinking. Of those who reported alcohol use in the last 30 days at enrollment, 98% reported abstinence at the end in their third trimester. This takes a look at the set of women who actually were drinking at the time of enrollment to take a look at how many intervention sessions did it really take before they could achieve or report abstinence. And the way that it works, at enrollment, they qualify, they get a brief intervention, and then they come back. So 94% of them were reporting abstinence at that first follow-up session. So that was a really good outcome and very consistent with the research, if you are familiar with the screening and brief intervention research. This one is taking a look at the trimester of pregnancy that they were first enrolled in. So you can see the large majority were in their first trimester. And then in terms of abstinence, where we're getting the most effect is in the second trimester, as I reported earlier, at 43%. 27% are actually in their third trimester before they can achieve the abstinence. So that's some data that kind of guides us in terms of future implementation and how to get that a little bit earlier in the pregnancy. So a summary of the screening and brief intervention is that most of the women who received it, most women receiving the initial intervention screened eligible based on the past level of alcohol tolerance or risk, not active use, so that was 81%. And then almost all of the women who reported abstinence at third trimester follow-up, 99% were eligible based on the past level alcohol tolerance, and 98% were eligible based on past 30-day. And for women who achieved abstinence, results were generally seen after the one follow-up session. And of the women drinking alcohol at screening, 43% achieved the abstinence during the second trimester. Okay, and lastly, I'm going to go through our PCAP findings. Again, this was our longest, most intensive three-year program. We had 123 of these women screened with 118 eligible, or about 96%. And this number just stays static because, unlike the other ones that enroll continuously, this program, because it's 3 years, really took up the full amount of the funding period that they had. So they fixed that enrollment pretty early on into the study period. Their demographics, 55% between 21 and 29. 50%, about half of the population, were white, 37% with a 12th grade education or GED, 59% never married, and 42% of the women had been in the program between 30 and 36 months. I'll show you something that goes into that a little bit further. This chart right here shows you the breakdown, because as we go through our reporting, which is every 6 months is when we get our data reported to us, obviously the population is moving further into the program period. So at this point of reporting, you can see that about 81% were in the program for at least 2 years or more. Okay, so this is now just going to give you a little bit of a snapshot of the outcomes while in the program. So 70% were involved in treatment, in some kind of treatment, and then 30% no treatment, or they dropped treatment at some point in the program. And then taking that 70%, taking a look at what kind of alcohol treatment did they attend, 83% reported being in an inpatient program, 44% in an outpatient, 70% in alcohol drug support, and again, these are not mutually exclusive. So if they reported any of these, they got reported in those categories. In terms of the current outcomes by status of abstinence from alcohol, 65% were reporting currently abstinent, with 35% not. And then we again look at the most, the farthest along follow-up for most of these women was the 24-month outcomes. That's where we are at this point. And you can see that at enrollment, 69% were reporting abstinent, and 67% at the 24-month biannual. So again, really good follow-up outcomes, I think, also showing kind of that intensive case management effect here that you don't often get with some of the other programs at a follow-up period. And then similarly, the reporting use of contraception, this one you can see a really strong effect of that program in that ongoing relationship. 23% were reporting regular use of contraception at enrollment, but at 24 months, 60% of the women were reporting regular use. So that's a pretty amazing finding. In terms of housing status, which the PCAP program takes a look at just to kind of get an indicator of stability, 49% were reporting in permanent housing at their most recent biannual, while 30% were living with friends or relatives. So between about 79% were in some form of stable housing, which is good. And then we also looked at child's health care status as another indicator of stability and well-being, because the whole parenting aspect is a real important one for PCAP. And 96% at their most recent biannual were reporting regular well-child visits being maintained, and 98% were reporting immunizations up to date. So again, really positive outcomes. And just parenting classes, again, is a real big aspect of the program. So 62% had reported attendance in a parenting class at some point during the program. Employment status, again, we also took a look at that. 12% reported some type of employment at enrollment. But as of the most recent biannual, 39% reported being employed within the last 6 months, and 29% reported being currently employed. So that was also a positive impact. So in summary for PCAP, 70% of the women were treated for alcohol and or drug use while within the program. 65% of the women were abstinent from alcohol as of the last reporting period. 49% of the women are living in some form of permanent housing, and 23% of the women using contraception at enrollment, but increased that to 60% after 24 months in the program. And just so that you have it, based on time, I'm not going to go over all of these, but in the back, if you get these as handouts, we do encourage you to visit our subcontractor's website. It has a lot of resources, and it's listed up there, and so there's a lot more detail on the actual programs that are included in the study. There are some links up here for you on the interventions if you're interested in them at all for your settings. The first Project Choice, I didn't mention this, but it's initially funded by CDC, so there's a lot of resources and material on that website. The Screening and Brief Intervention was a program funded by NIAAA initially, and you can get more information about that one on our website. And then PCAP is by the Fetal Alcohol and Drug Unit under the University of Washington. So there's, again, a link there for a lot of resources on that program as well. And just a list here of where all of our subcontractors are so that you can take a look at these. And again, if you're interested in learning more, our website will give you program summaries on each of these. Okay, thank you very much.